happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's the Week 11 Deep Dive, and here we are. It's Brian, Jay, and Brett here to dive through it. How you guys doing today?
Doing good. We just got to see a little Justin Fields touchdown action going on already. We're watching, you know, recording this during the Thursday night game, and the Jets are going to jet and do things when they're not supposed to, and vice versa. So,
yeah, that's the reason I'm on, is because it's Jets Patriots on Thursday Night Football, and I don't really care.
Right, he's already got more rushing yards than passing. Big shocker there, you know. No.
What is this over? Isn't his over under what, like 149 or something like that?
131, I think, was the closing line. Absolutely atrocious. Yeah.
Any fantasy guys going tonight on either side? Obviously, I mean, you either have Justin Fields or Breece Hall, and that's it on the Jets side. But nobody? No Hendo anywhere or any receivers from the Patriots?
I'm watching – like, I've got Drake May in a couple places, and a guy that I'm watching is Adonai Mitchell, because there's a couple deep leagues where I'm hurting at wide receiver a little bit, and he is extremely interesting if he gets on the field. Only because he has the talent, and now I think he might have the opportunity.
Yeah, that was the biggest issue being there with the Colts. He was stuck there as the wide receiver four. They have three competent guys, three pretty talented wide receivers. So then he came in there, and you were hoping, like, all right, maybe he gets his chance next year when Alec Pierce walks. But with the trade there, it seems like Alec Pierce is probably going to be re-signed. They've got their core three, and Adonai Mitchell, he's got an opportunity. Maybe not this year because he doesn't have a quarterback, but next year looks grass is greener.
A little gangrener.
Exactly.
We don't know if they're going to have if they'll have a quarterback next year, but I really can't say much as a Giants fan because it took us like 15 years to find a quarterback, and then he gets hurt. So,
that whole team's hampered right now. So usually on this episode, we go deep diving into more of those like RB2, RB3s, wide receiver 2-3 discussions, trying to figure out where that threshold is that we're willing to start them. But before we do, Sleeper popped up something there on Twitter talking about, like, in their prime, who are the best 3-4 wide receivers. And I ran into Jay there talking about it in there. So I got to bring it up. I want to know, is this just like a generational thing? Or truly, who is it? So you got four wide receivers in their prime. You've got Megatron, Jerry Rice, you've got Randy Moss, and then Ja'Marr Chase. Who do you cut out of the four? Like, who is fourth on that list?
I think it's pretty easily Ja'Marr Chase, but that wasn't even the point that I was making on what you saw. The people that were automatically saying Jerry Rice are just telling on themselves. As Brett, you said it earlier, you play Fortnite if you automatically said Jerry Rice, because you obviously didn't watch him in action and see what he was doing into his 40s. I mean, he wore these Seahawks redesigns. He was still playing when those came out. He played, I don't even think it was a full season, but that's how good the guy was. He was able, I mean, you know, say longevity all you want, but there's a difference in longevity and just putting up okay stats. And then there's longevity winning multiple Super Bowls and holding uncatchable, records.
I've got to look at how old Jerry Rice was in the seasons that he overlapped with Terrell Owens, but Terrell Owens was wide receiver number two on that team for a reason, for multiple years with Rice. And that was in the twilight of his career. So there's, I know T.O. was young, but T.O. is probably one of the top 10 to 15 wide receivers ever. And he was wide receiver two on that roster.
96 to 2000.
Dang, that's crazy.
I forgot they played together.
For me, my first ever football game, I remember watching when I started, it was Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, that one against the Rams. My love for the game grew, and my hatred for a man grew that day. That hatred has continued. I still sit on it, that Peyton Manning, greatest quarterback of all time. I will argue till I'm blue in the face on that one. Jerry Rice, I know Jerry Rice as a Raider. Like, the first time I remember watching him as a Raider, and, at that point of his career, towards the twilight of it. So I will say I was in the camp that I wasn't necessarily saying he was the worst, but like I had locked in Randy Moss and Megatron would obviously be my top two. I say obviously, but just those would be my two. And it was between Ja'Marr Chase and Jerry Rice. And all of a sudden we've got way better cameras, way better quality of like all I'm seeing is Ja'Marr Chase highlights going on in this thread. But I'm like, am I making a mistake here? Am I knocking Ja'Marr Chase when I shouldn't? Or am I just besmirching one of the goats at the wide receiver position?
Not one of the goats, the goat. And I'll go down that hill with it. But I think you're right. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, as we were talking about how I grew up watching baseball, it was hard to watch football. You got two games during the day, two at 1 o'clock, one at 4 o'clock, and the primetime games. And there was no Thursday night game. So, I mean, and I don't even think there was a Sunday night game that I remember. And now, I mean, there's Thursday, there's Friday, there's Black Friday, there's Thanksgiving, there's some Mondays, there's some Saturdays. So, yeah, I think that it's just people are prisoners of the moment. And I was kind of the opposite of you. I was like, all right, well, there's no way that it's Jerry Rice, but there's no way that it's Megatron, but there's no way that it's Randy Moss. And it's not to poo-poo on Ja'Marr Chase. I think he will eventually be in that conversation.
I think that I know that the tweet itself was just talking talent, but I think from a legacy standpoint, Chase and Megatron are closer in the conversation than Rice and Moss. Like both Rice and Moss have Super Bowl rings. Rice I know that, like I said,
I mean, Randy Moss doesn't.
New England Patriots.
They lost that year.
Did they lose that year?
They lost. They went 19-18-1.
Right there, baby.
You can go ahead and just edit whatever I just said.
That's how long ago it was. I have a mouse pad. That's how long ago it was. I was at that game. I don't know if I told you guys before.
I feel like Randy Moss doesn't have a ring.
And that is the most talked about thing for me, I think, was the Randy Moss almost came out as number one for me. Like he holds the record for most receiving touchdowns in a season. When you go up and get the ball over somebody, they don't say you Megatron somebody. You Moss someone. You know, the same reason when you're shooting the ball, it's called Kobe. These kids haven't even seen Kobe play, and it's still called it's Kobe when you toss it up. So Randy Moss might be the number one for
MJ,
me out of that.
Kobe, LeBron, but. Well, that's
another day. My old days of NFL Street, like, love me some playing with the Vikings. Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss was just unmatched. But, folks, three old guys here living in the nostalgia days. We're going to move on to actual Week 11 here, football. Guys, let me open it up with the Packers wide receiver situation here. We've got a decent-ish looking game. Packers playing the Giants in this one. Romeo Dobbs got knocked out Monday night in the game. It looks like he practiced, so he will be there. I guess just looking at the wide receivers in this game, we've got Dobbs, Watson, Wandale Robinson over there. Slayton's probably going to miss. How are you approaching these three?
Romeo Dobbs is, I can never say it, as Dobbs, whatever. He's the Khalil Shakir of the NFC, basically. And this game is actually one that I'm excited to start him. The Giants have done pretty well against deep passes. They're holding oppositions to a 39% completion percentage on 41 attempts. So teams are trying to go deep on them and phrasing. But where was I at? I sort of threw myself off there. Yeah.
Sorry, it happens the best of us when we talk about the Packers wide receivers.
Yeah. So, I mean, the ceiling isn't really there, even against the Giants. But I think the floor is a little higher than it normally would be. So we might get his second career 20-point game. I couldn't believe that. Look, coming into the season, he'd not had a 20-point game. But I think that with the Giants playing, defending the deep ball so well, that it's going to work in his favor.
I am nervous about the Packers passing game as a whole. After what we saw on Monday night, there was a lot of dysfunction. Blame it on the weather, blame it on the personnel change, kind of the first time running out this new injury-riddled core of pass catchers. I think so much of the Packers offense relied on Tucker Kraft kind of just running that 3 yard out and creating after the catch. I worry about defenses being able to just stack the box, take away Josh Jacobs, and the Packers not being able to function after that, just because Jordan Love isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing, I guess. I don't know. It just looked funky on Monday Night Football, and I don't know if this will be a get-right spot or if this will be the wheels fall off again spot.
Yeah, it's a tough one there. Giants are one of the worst teams against the running back position, but when they know that that's kind of the bread and butter of the Packers right now is Josh Jacobs, why wouldn't they stack the box? Why wouldn't they force Jordan Love, force Matt LaFleur to, I mean, I don't know which side you guys are on, if you know, he needs to make some sort of change as far as the play calling there, but it's not exciting at all. Like, their record is 5-3-1. That's exactly what I would call them. They are, like, we have tons of teams that are underperforming, overperforming. I think they are exactly that, a 5-3-1 team.
Absolutely. Before they're the tie.
Yeah. Before we walk away from this game, I need some help here, Brett. I need you to walk me off the ledge because I cannot find any positivity surrounding Tyrone Tracy. I guess, Jay, where do you have Tyrone Tracy? How are you looking at him this week? In your rankings?
I've got a little sliver of positivity just because he actually did out-carry Singletary the second week, but I'm not too excited to start him. Let me see where I've got him in the ranks. And the thing is, Tracy has a few more carries, but Singletary's getting the goal line work, so neither one are really that valuable.
This is a less sexy Seahawks running back room is the way I look at it. You've got your Charbonnet, you got your Walker, but they're just a few tiers down.
I have Tyrone Tracy at 27.
It
looks like you have him at 28, so we're on the same page there.
All right. Brett, come save us. Save us. Give us the excitement.
So I'm scrolling like a madman to find the Giants snap percentages from last week. I did the what we saw, and I can't come up with it off the top of my head. But
I gotcha. Or did I freeze up?
No, you said I got you, and I paused.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was in the process of looking them up.
Tyrone Tracy got the lion's share. I think that he may not have performed as well on the ground as Devin Singletary. Now, granted, a lot of Singletary's yardage came on the one check down pass from Russell Wilson late in the game against the Bears last week. But I think that a lot of those check downs this week could go to Tyrone Tracy. I think that he could be a lot more helpful through the air than a lot of people are thinking. And so, especially in PPR leagues, I'm not afraid to use him as a flex play, certainly. And in some cases, maybe an RP2 or RB2 in those PPR situations.
Well, let's go ahead and find that line then. Tyrone Tracy or Kareem Hunt with no Pacheco?
Tyrone Tracy. That's more of an endorsement of Breshard Smith than an indictment or an endorsement of Tyrone Tracy, though. I believe in Breshard Smith.
Okay. All right. What about either one of the Seattle backfield, Walker or Charbonnet?
Jay, earmuffs. I would take Tyrone Tracy over Kenneth Walker III. I would take Zach Charbonnet over Tyrone Tracy.
Oh, I got it flipped. I would go Walker, Tracy, Charbonnet.
I'm leaning towards safety and floor at running back and try to hit my ceiling at wide receivers, which is why I lean Charbonnet there.
I would actually go Charbonnet, Walker, and Tracy at the bottom. I want no part of Tyrone Tracy, especially with YOLO ball Jameis Winston starting for the Giants. And believe it or not, last week Singletary out-targeted, even though Singletary ran 11 more routes. Tyrone Tracy ran 11 more routes. Singletary got one additional target. So it's not like they both got a ton. You know, Singletary got 3, Tracy got 2. But I just, with Tracy getting the goal line work, I am backwards tonight. With Singletary getting the goal line work, Tracy getting a little bit more of the carries. It's just, it's a situation I want to avoid completely.
The one thing I will say is that Tyrone Tracy got all of the 2-minute drill snaps. I mean, that's where you make your money from a pass catching running back standpoint. So to have the early downs, to have, the 2-minute drill, I don't want to say I'm bullish on Tyrone Tracy, but like, I don't dislike him as a lot of other people do.
Last one then, Rashad White, who has been pretty bad the last 3 weeks. Would you play him or Tyrone Tracy this week?
I think I'm leaning Rashad White just because I don't trust the Buffalo run defense at all.
I like that.
And that's just assuming that Bucky Irving does miss. I'm on Rashad White.
For sure. Let's mosey on over to Jacksonville here. We've got several pass catchers to talk about in this one. Just the myriad we have over with the Chargers. We're looking at Ladd. We've got QJ, Keenan Allen. Gadsden looks like he practiced, so he should be out there. And then on the other side, Brian Thomas Jr., Parker Washington, Jacoby Myers, if we really want to get deep and nasty. Give me some insight on these, both of these wide receiver cores.
So I actually wrote the what we saw for the Jaguars and Texans last week. So I watched this entire game, and I got to say, even though Parker Washington got the most targets, I was really impressed with the way that Jacoby Myers assimilated right into the offense and looked like he'd been there all year. You know, we've talked about it before that wide receivers that are traded in the middle of the season tend to not do that well from a fantasy perspective. But I tell you what, I'm really excited for Jacoby Myers in Jacksonville. Parker Washington missed yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday, so he missed practice on Wednesday, but he did return and is expected to play. But Jacoby Myers, he made this one catch. It was like a 10-yard out that the Texans defender like literally was just on top of him, and he was falling down, closing his eyes, and he still caught the ball, came down with it, and rolled out of bounds. I've never been a huge Jacoby Myers fan. It's been more of being on the Raiders versus anything else, but I think he's got a real shot of, you know, putting up solid wide receiver three with some spike weeks mixed in, especially with Brian Thomas Jr. disappointing and Travis Hunter being out for the year now.
If Parker Washington misses this game, that makes things super interesting, right? It probably unlocks Myers to maybe move into the slot. I mean, it's probably going to be De'Ami Brown for most of those snaps, but for Parker Washington to leave the field right now for the Jaguars, that opens up so much usage. He's been Trevor Lawrence's favorite target for several weeks in a row now, and if he misses this game, I think that both Myers and BTJ is startable, I think, regardless, especially if you don't have better alternatives. But I think it makes Myers a flex consideration.
One thing I did want to chip in there is Thomas was limited both Wednesday and Thursday, so he's not necessarily a guarantee to play this week either. So, I mean, I'm starting him if he is playing, but it's keep an eye on the practice reports Friday.
Yeah, I saw some practice footage from him out there doing some cuts and some plants, and you can tell that ankles or like that injury is still bothering him a bit. Like he is a little gingerly on those pivots. So if he's not at 100%, like even at 100% on the season, he's still not been great. So I'm very nervous with that. On the other side of the ball, we've got Ladd, we've got QJ, Keenan. That's the order I have him in this week. And I've got QJ significantly closer to Ladd than I do for Keenan Allen. You can beat the Jags on the boundaries. You can beat them on the outside. So I think this might be, despite the offensive line still being trashed for the Chargers, I think there could be some upside with QJ this week.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And I think Ladd is, you know, Keenan Allen, and I gave you props. You called Keenan Allen. I was completely out. He's had started great the season, but as these, you know, these older vets tend to do, slowing down a little bit, and you know, Ladd McConkey has taken his status back as the alpha receiver in this offense since week five. He has the fourth most receptions, the third most targets, and the third most targets inside the 20 in the entire NFL. And he's back to must start wide receiver one. He's a top guy for the Chargers. I'm with you on Quentin Johnson. He's a little more volatile than he was to start the season, but I like it against the Jaguars. They're allowing the 10th most points to the position and are the fourth most completions and four touchdowns on pass attempts of 20 plus yards. So I think he's got a pretty good shot of coming down with a couple of long ones and hopefully gets in the end zone as well.
Nice. Yeah, Gadsden, the emergence of him is absolutely – like, he's cut into Keenan Allen's work as well. So, like, short-lived. We loved it for the first few weeks, but, yeah, it's time.
It was free. We're moving on. And that's – and there's – you know what? You didn't cost you anything. You got some – I mean, he had to have had some – did he have at least one 20-point game mixed in there somewhere?
I believe so, yeah. He's absolutely he had, been
– yeah, week seven against the Colts. Sorry, Brian. 28.9, and he had two 19-point games, 19, 17, 19 to start the season. So, yeah, he was free.
It's fine.
He was either last rounds or off the waiver wire. So, absolutely, you take that all day.
Yeah, I'm actually super bullish on Quentin Johnston this week. I really like him against this Jaguars secondary. Shout out to PFF for their awesome tools. One of the things I like to look at every week are the wide receiver cornerback matchups. If Johnston is marked by Greg Newsom, Newsom ranks 98th out of 112 cornerbacks this week or this year. He was traded away from the Browns, which was a blessing for him, but telling me the Browns wanted to get rid of him for another cornerback, not even like for picks, for another corner. I'm taking Quentin Johnston. Yes, to assume that the Browns are doing anything rationally is an assumption, certainly. But I do like Quentin Johnston in this wide receiver cornerback matchup.
Nice. Let's pivot over here to quarterbacks because something that popped up during the start sit show for us. Mario and I went back and forth a little bit on some of these guys. Let's talk about the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game. Right now, I've got Joe Flacco coming in at my quarterback 9. I've got Aaron Rodgers at QB 11. I've got old men up there all over the place. So, like, I've got them above names of, like, Baker, Jordan Love, Sam Darnold, who has been pretty good this year. I've got Jared Goff all the way down at 19 right now. So, illuminate your me on your or your view on these quarterbacks a bit.
I'm with you. I as we talk about previously on the show, I start sit comes out every Thursday and I posted on Reddit and I had a conversation earlier today with somebody saying, how could I consider Baker Mayfield a sit in one quarterback leagues? And I would start Joe Flacco. I would start Aaron Rodgers over him because the way that the Bills have defended the pass this year, they held Patrick Mahomes and Drake May without a passing touchdown. They're allowing, what is it? They've only allowed three passing touchdowns all year long.
That's and crazy.
The third fewest points to the position. It's not saying that Baker's bad by any means. It's we've got the icy hot bowl again with these guys with two terrible defenses that could once again, you know, Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns the last game, and I think Flacco throw three in that game. That was the one where Jamar Chase had, I think, 16 catches. So yeah, I am with you 100%. And I did the same thing with you and I are pretty close on Goff as well. In the initial rankings, I had him 12, you had him 14, and I originally had Baker at 8, but I dropped Baker down to 13 after looking into this matchup just a little more.
Yeah, I'm super excited for Unc Bowl 2.0. Both these guys still got it for sure. They combined for almost 600 yards last time these two teams met. 7 touchdowns, like you said, Jay. And I haven't seen either defense improve since that game. I'm excited for just watching this. I all the offensive pieces just. Run them all out there and let's just don't even worry about playing defense. We'll just watch and be, you know, enjoy the fantasy goodness that comes from this.
We talk about the hesitancy on Jordan Love, just the possibility of what we could be looking at this week. Now, I have Jordan Love ranked one spot ahead of this guy, but are people crazy to pivot to Geno Smith this week over somebody like Jordan Love, over like a Jared Goff, getting the Dallas matchup there on Monday night?
I don't know if I could do it. I think it's the right call, but what is Geno Smith like? 85 years old at this point? Like,
84. Don't be dramatic.
I get excited sometimes. I mean, he did just throw 4 touchdowns, right, against in their last game. So, Dallas, it just feels like a trap, man. Like, everything says you should start Geno Smith, but it just feels like a trap. Like, if Superflex, I'm fine throwing him in as my QB2, but man, I can't willingly start Geno Smith over these guys, over Jared Goff. Jared Goff? Was there anybody else?
I've got Jared Goff at 19. Brett, you going Geno Smith or Bo Nix this week?
No. if I'm faced with that choice, I'm looking to the waiver wire. And a guy who's actually lower in the rankings than both of those guys this week, at least by consensus, is Tua. I really like Tua's matchup against the Commanders in Europe somewhere. I think they're in Madrid this week, for the final Europe game. So it's a 9:30 start. So I've got to be up early to make sure that I can claim him off waivers and put him in my lineup in those situations. But he's a guy down, 21st ranked by consensus on QB list. Who has him the highest? Jay has him at 16. So Jay is on board with me here. I like the matchup. We've seen the Commanders get torched. I'm not afraid of Marshawn Lattimore at all. And I'm super excited to watch Jaylen Waddle and Devin Achane run crazy routes against this Commanders defense.
100%.
And the thing I wrote about this this game too is pretty much everybody in Miami is playing for their jobs. So you're not going to see them, take their foot off the gas. They're going to do, they're going to continue to throw the ball. Doesn't matter if Mariota is able to do anything or not. We've had those random games where the Dolphins defense just decided to shut teams down, but it's not for any rhyme or reason. But I think that, that's one of the reasons why I like Tua. He's playing for his job as well. So he's not going to, take it easy and have the chance of letting the Commanders come back against them.
I like that. All right. If you're not on fantasy Twitter, if you're not over there checking it out, most everyone saw the quote coming from AJ Brown this week on the stream playing the Madden. His quote, "If you own me in fantasy football, you might as well drop me." Is there, to me, it builds the narrative of squeaky wheel. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's this week. But also, I have been just a huge Eagles hater and a giant Sirianni hater, and the man seems so vindictive that he would just say, "Watch this. We're not going to even throw you a target." Evidently, John he met Dobson with. Week. Oh God, are we there? Are we there? I have AJ Brown above Devonta Smith this week, just because I'm in my feels about it. I don't know. Help me out,
Brett. Take a look at the wide receiver rankings and see where I have AJ Brown compared to everybody else this week.
All right, so let me just command F, type in AJ Brown. Let's see.
An unranked. What?
Consensus is 16. Let's see. Steve has him at 18. Eric has him all the way down at 22. Brian has him ranked 15th. Jay, I think this is a typo. You have him ranked 7th.
Yep.
All right.
I'm in. And I've wrote it. I've said it. It's a gut feeling. It's a gut feeling that I think that he does get the squeaky wheel game. The Lions allow the 8th most points to the position. They've given up the 2nd most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers with 13. I just think this is, if he is going to have a bounce back blow up game, this is it. And like I said, it's just a gut call. It's just one of those. Don't have anything specific, no stats to back it up. It's just, it's my gut, my dad gut.
I wish that we could, I wish that it was a trackable metric, like wide receivers who complain on social media and their stats the next game. Like, that needs to be a sortable column on the QB list, projections and stat pages next year.
Off-season project. Let's do it.
Right? But yeah, Jay, it sounds like you were reading Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance on the sideline this week. I think that I don't know. I don't know if I'm bought into A.J. Brown. I don't like the Eagles matchup against the Lions. I think the Lions have one of the few defensive coordinators and defensive personnels that are able to kind of mold and shift in response to an offense and can kind of form unique defensive game plans in response to their opponent. So I really like the Lions defense just in general, like it for real football. So I don't really like targeting them and players that go against them in fantasy. That said, I mean, you're right. It could be a squeaky wheel thing. I'm flip-flopping on this really bad, but for me, I've stayed away from AJ Brown all season long, and I'm not going to start diving in now.
I've slowly acquired him over the last few weeks, and I'm hoping I'm not going to fully regret it.
Yeah, you stole him from me in the GTA League.
Sure did. Hasn't helped me yet, but hopefully this week.
It's a win-win. Either he has a good game and it's a right call, or you stole him and he does nothing. So it's I can't go wrong here.
Another player that people seem to be frustrated with over the last month, this guy's been wide receiver 50, 82, 12, and 42. DK Metcalf, what are we doing with him? Like, are we at the point where, like, does he fall in that Cortland Sutton range where you're like, you're willing to bench him, like, in shallow enough leagues?
Not this week.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in general, but not against the Bengals. I mean, you take every Pittsburgh Steeler that you have on your bench and you put them in your starting lineup this week against the Bengals.
He was wide receiver 42 last time they played the Bengals. Now, they had three tight ends score a touchdown. So does that happen again? Maybe. But I don't know.
Two for the Moose.
Hey, he might be in that streaming article that you find over there at QBList.com with all of our other amazing articles, the streaming, the What We Saw, the Start, Sit, and all of them. All of the great
everything,
articles.
Everything in between. I tried to trade for DK Metcalf in my home league, not only for this matchup, but it was actually what I tried. It was Cortland Sutton and Kamani Vidal for DK, and it got turned down. So that tells you where people are on Sutton. But after this week, they have Chicago, Buffalo, but then Baltimore, Miami, Detroit. I know Detroit has a good defense, but they've been pretty friendly to the wide receiver position, and I would like to have any pass catcher that is getting targeted from Aaron Rodgers inside a dome. So I really like the schedule down the stretch. Let's not talk about week 17 at Cleveland, but other than that, I think if you're able to buy low, you might have to wait till after this week. Cause like you said, Brett, everybody wants to start anybody that's going against the Bengals. But I think he's going to finish the season strong ish, like not wide receiver one, but if you're able to acquire him at a wide receiver three price, I'd do that all day.
Jay, just a quick update from Thursday Night Football. Travion Henderson scored his second touchdown of the game. And it's only the second quarter.
Pits off.
I was going to say, if you need to run around the house and do your victory lap, we'll give you time.
Hey, if I wouldn't wake up my children, I would. And as I told you guys earlier, my son already, I think we've had the quota for victory laps today when Aaron Judge was named MVP. He ran around the house like a madman. So.
Nice.
Travion Henderson is like the he might make me buy a Patriots jersey. I don't know if there's certain teams that I can't do the Red Sox as a Yankees fan. I can't do the Cowboys. I can't do the Eagles. Commanders maybe. Duke fan, so I could never do UNC. Patriots are up there too, man.
Get a rivalry one. Nobody would be able to tell it was a Patriots jersey. Get one of the rivalry.
I would know in my heart that I'm wearing a New England Patriots jersey. That's the problem.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Nothing. Like, there's a few things I hate in the world. Onions, mosquitoes, and Boston sports teams. Like, I can't do it. I'm sorry, Boston fans. Like, you guys have your championships. I don't care. We can talk crap about y'all. Y'all have way too many. It's fine. Brady, you're the worst.
My son was actually, like I told you guys earlier, he's been starting to get into baseball more, and he's been looking up stuff, and Netflix has the documentary of the 2004 Red Sox comeback. And he's like, let's watch that. I'm like, no, no, son, no. Let me tell you about 2004. It was I graduated from high school. The Red Sox, that was by far, and I know I'm a spoiled sports fan because I've Yankees fan, Giants fan, Duke fan. I've seen tons of championships. I'm very lucky, but that comeback was by far the most painful sports moment of my life. And it's still, I won't watch the Jimmy Fallon movie. I won't watch that documentary. It's
Vietnam flashbacks over here.
Jason brings up the documentary on Netflix. He immediately goes into the Vince McMahon meme. Yeah,
Oh, that's awesome.
Like it, visions of bloody socks.
Awesome. What other, any other players y'all want to bring up before we get out of here?
I want to talk about Jameson Williams. I think that J-Mo has the potential to go off on the Eagles later this week. I think that they have struggled with wide receiver twos all season long. Quinyon Mitchell does a great job shutting down a wide receiver every week. And then after that, I mean, Cooper DeJean does an okay job in the slot. And then whoever else is out there in an Eagles jersey tries to cover the other guy. I'm really excited about Jameson Williams this week, especially after Dan Campbell took over play calling duties in Detroit. We saw Williams targeted early and often. He found the end zone. It was a boom week for the boomer bust wide receiver. And I think we see more of those going forward, including this week against the Eagles.
Sam LaPorta also missed practice again on Thursday, so just him being out also just booms Jameson Williams. Right now I've got him just outside of my wide receiver 20. I'm going to work him into my – he'll be a top 20 wide receiver for me this week. I've just got to figure out where he's going to line in there, but I love that call. I absolutely love it.
I believe Dalton Schultz too, because I saw people talking about tight ends. Dalton Schultz missed. He was he's been getting a lot of targets here recently. I'm back in on Nico Collins. I know a lot of people have been down on him based on the he's, you know, he's been fine. He's kind of been that Justin Jefferson, like, you know, you expect elite numbers. You're not getting the elite numbers, but he hasn't been bad. But coming back this week, man, I don't know if – did you guys see the one-handed toe tap catch he made for the two-point conversion? My goodness, that was some toe drag swag if I ever saw any. But he got 15 targets. It's – against Tennessee, Davis Mills is going to just put his neck on the line and chuck the ball. And he was hitting Nico early and often. I think Nico's in for a big week. And I honestly think that he's going to be one of those guys that gets hot down the stretch. And we're all like, why didn't we acquire more shares of this guy?
Yeah, it's bad. I was just trying to pull up the stat. What is it? Nico Collins hasn't cleared 75 receiving yards in any of his last 11 games with CJ Stroud, averaging just 48.9 yards per game. It's not great. It's not great. But when you pull off, Davis the Neck Mills out there, you can bust out 136 yards. Love that.
Mm-hmm. So, is this another soft benching, you guys think?
That's the rumor around town. We got tons of soft benchings this year.
Alrighty. Nothing I love better than a soft bench, you know? Like, nice place to sit.
Yeah, I wish we would have had more of that when I was in high school. I had to sit there so much. It was just,
yeah, we just had cold steel ones in the snow, uphill both ways.
Exactly. Liked it. You know, if you had to take a knee, you had to put rocks under your knee before you could take it. You know,
absolutely. The usual. 100%.
Awesome. Anybody else you want to bring up before we get out of here?
I think that's about it.
That's it. We're going to put it to bed. Folks, we cannot thank you all for coming here, hanging out with us all week long. We've got 5 shows we drop at you each and every day here on the QB List podcast. Jay, if they're looking for more of you, where can they find you?
QBList.com. Thursdays, start sit drops. Record Sunday nights. Mondays, Sunday best drops, which is what my 20-minute-ish pod that's just kind of a quick recap. And Saturday, our updated ranking come out. Me, Brian, Steve, and Eric. So it's going to be interesting to see how things change up a little bit. I dropped Baker down pretty significantly, and I think you got some other movement in there as well.
Nice. Brett, they're looking for you and all your amazing work. Where are they going to find it?
the Find My Work at QBList.com. The What We Saw column publishes every Monday morning. Check us out not only on QBList.com, but also in the Fantasy Football subreddit. If you're looking for my Twitter account, it's Fade That Man. And other than that, catch me in the QBList Discord. We've got a great community. We've done a great job of building something that I'm certainly proud of. I know you guys probably are too. So check us out on Discord if you haven't already.
Yeah, all the great stuff we can find there on the Discord, on the website. Check it out there. If you're looking for more of me, it's at @too_much_Brian. All my work's fed there through my Twitter feed. You'll see me on the Monday episode here and the start sit. Thank you all for coming out. Like, subscribe. We'll see y'all next time.
Cool.